Okay, Tes Kuf Chaf Aleph, or Kuf Chaf Amud Beis. Two lines at the bottom. A pigle v'anosem retamis hayadayim. The Mishnah says that a korban that is either pigle, again, which is possible because of machshava chutz hazmano, v'anosar, which is a korban that had it was left beyond its allotted time, then retamis hayadayim. If anyone who touches it, they become the hands become tamei. So the Gemara is going to explain what's the reason why it's obviously a tapana de rabbanon. What's the reason why behind this takana? So Rav Huna v'Rechizda. So it's originally it seems to be Rav Machlokas v'Huna v'Rechizda. It's not going to be Machlokas. Each one is going to be discussing a different topic, either pigel or nosar. So Chad Amar Mishum Chashde Kohuna. One says because we're of certain kohanim that we're chashed that they're going to do something wrong. Chad Amar one says the reason the gzeir for the tumah is Mishum Atzale Kohuna because of the lazy kohanim. Chad Amar, we also explain what's the shear, how big of a piece of pigle, a piece of nosar, does it have to be in order for it to contract a tumah? So Chad Amar, the shear is a kezayis, has to be the size of a kezayis. The Chad Amar, the shear is a kebetza, the size of an egg, a kebetza. So now the Gemara explains. Chad Amar, Chad Tani a pigle, the Chad Tani a nosar. There's no machlokas here about the reason behind to become a tumah. One of them is explaining the reason of pigle, and one of them is explaining the reason of nosar. Right? Man de tani a pigol, the one who's explaining the reason about pigol is mishum chashde kohuna, because of those who are chashed, because of the kohanim that were worried that they may have done something wrong. Rashbam says, chashde kohuna, second Rashbam, gazru chacham tuma, shelo yipalguhu birotzon, that they won't purposely have the wrong intent, lahafsi de sabaylim, v'yom shogim hainu, they won't purposely say, we don't like this guy, we're gonna make his carbon pigol, and we're just going to say it's shogeg, and then this guy really doesn't have kapara. So we tell them, listen, if you pigle, if you touch it, your hands are going to be tamei. Again, what does that mean? Yeah, kohanim, apparently, you could be very machmir about one thing and make about another thing, and we're concerned that they really were concerned about tumah, but they weren't concerned about making anybody else, messing anybody else up. So that is the reason about pigle. Uman detanya nosar, the one who says that the reason is because of Atzle Kohuna, Mishum Atzle Kohuna is discussing the case of the Nosar, because we are concerned about the Kohanim are lazy. I don't know, some people say Kohanim is the reason him, so, but here we're saying the Kohanim are lazy. Maybe we have to give them a little kick in the pants to make sure that they're not lazy to let it go beyond its allotted time. If we say, listen, if you do, you're going to become tummy by touching it. So therefore we don't let it. Right? Rashi says, Shelo Yitz Atzu Bachila, and Rashi says, Lahu Adin Yisrael, because if they said some korbanos Yisrael eats also, so we have to make sure we tell them that even if you're lazy and you don't eat it in time, your hands are also going to become tamei. Okay, so then now the question of they were explaining to Rav Huna and Rav Chizda about the size of the meat that's going to be in the time of the Yadayim. Chad Amar Kezayis, Chad Amar Kebetza. One says Kezayis, one says Kebetza. Man the Amar Kezayis, the one who says that it's discussing that in meat, it's the size of Kezayis. Why Kezayis? Ki Isiro. They said just like it's the Isser of Nosar, and the Isser of Pigel only considers an Isser if you eat a Kezayis worth. So we're going to say the same size regarding the Isser is going to be the size regarding the Tumah. We're going to use that as our precedent. Umanda Amar Kebetza, Dora says Kebetza, Kitum Aso. It's talking about the size of Tumah, meaning the size that something can transmit Tumah to something else. In order to transmit Tumah to something else, to measure my focus, haven't necessarily translated, but in order to transmit tumah to something else, it's the size of kebetza. Since we're dealing here with tumah, we're going to say the same size as a kebetza. Okay. Now, so the Mishnah is taking off from a Tosefta. The Tosefta in the 10th parak, it says that before you eat the Korban Pesach, you have to make a bracha. Right, you have to make Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Kedeshanu B'Mitzvoso V'Tzivanu L'Echol Es HaPesach. Right, and then before you eat and the other karban, you say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Kedeshanu B'Mitzvoso V'Tzivanu L'Echol Es HaZevach. Just the Pesach has its specific bracha, and all of the karbanos have this generic bracha of L'Echol Es HaZevach. So the Mishnah is going to discuss the case about somebody who's eating a karban Pesach and another karban at the same time, and can he use one bracha to pater the other? Like a hamotzi, can that part does everything? Can the bracha of hazeva part of the pesach? The bracha of pesach part of the bracha of hazevach. So the Mishnah says, "Berich birchas hapesach." If you make the bracha of birchas hapesach, patar es hazevach. Shel Zevach. That is patters the Shel Zevach. So if you're eating two korbanos, one of the Pesach, one not the Pesach, and you make, not that you should, but if you did, you made the bracha on the Pesach, and then you forgot, and then you ate from the other Zevach, you were Yotze, you're okay. What? Let's figure it out. Why? Because you can't have anything after the Pesach.
Correct.
So all the Rishonim asked that, they're all bothered by it. I thought the answer was pretty simple. The answer is, I thought the answer was that we just said the Eim Avtir Nachar Pesach Achikomen. You can't have anything after the Pesach, but it doesn't mean that it could mean that you started eating the Korban Pesach, and then in the middle of eating the Korban Pesach, you had some of your Chagigah. So long as you finished at the end, then you had your Korban Pesach. So it's not like there's a course of Pesach, a course of Chagigah. It's served together, and just make sure that the Pesach is the last part, the last thing that you ate. Right. So that's what I think it's supposed. Maybe it's supposed to be, but maybe the Hechitim that you can find over here, because they all ask that. They all ask, I think the Maram Chalava and everybody, that the Pesach is supposed to eat at the end of the Suda. You now eat anything else afterwards. So how is it possible that you're going to make the Berchas of Pesach and you're going to pati the Berchas of the Zevach if you already ate the Zevach beforehand? So the case is that you're having it on the plate at the same time. Right, so Berech Berchas HaPesach Pater is Shal Zevach, but they all hack about that. There's a long Rashbam. They all hack about what that is. Okay, so if you make the bracha on the Pesach, you part of the Zevach. But if you make the bracha of the Zevach, lo Pater is a Pesach. So my Hechitim, so in my case where you have the Chagigah and the Korban Pesach on the plate, and you pick up the Chagigah and make the bracha on that, you will not part of the bracha of making the Pesach. You'd have to make the bracha on the Pesach as well. Comes Rabbi Kiva and says, no, lo zo poter zo, v'lo zo poter zo. They're completely independent brachos, completely independent mitzvos. One is not, it's like saying the bracha on the lulav is going to pater your bracha on your tzitzis. Now, it's not the tefillin, but I'll get to that machlokas, but tefillin machal moed. This is, one does not have to do with the other. If you look at this, at the Rashbam explains our introduction. It says, Masnisin, Birchas HaPesach, Birchas HaZevach, Mefarish B'Tosefta, Ezo Birchas HaPesach, Birchat HaShem HaKinim HaCholam, Asher Kishonim Tzavim Tzavim HaLechas HaPesach, Ezo Birchas HaZevach, Birchat HaShem HaKinim HaCholam, Asher Kishonim Tzavim Tzavim HaLechas HaZevach, B'Hai Zevach, what Zevach are you eating by the Korban Pesach? Hainu Chagigas Yudal, Rabbanim HaPesach. That's the Chagigah that comes with the Korban Pesach. Inami, or says, the Dar V'Nadavish, Shehikriv Erev HaPesach. Or whatever, there was enough time, not everybody came. You had enough time to be makriv some voluntary offerings, and we have them on your plate. Okay, so now the Mishnah is going to, the Gemara is now going to try to line up this machlokas from Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel with a different machlokas from Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. So we have to remember again, a little bit of Kutchim to finish up Psachim, which is good. Then we'll have a little break on Shkolim and then go hardcore into Kutchim again by Yoma. So the order of every Korban is that the Kohen, first he shecht it, the Kohen is Makabal, remember the Kohen is Makabal, the blood, and then he walks the blood, they walk the blood to the Mizbeach, and then when you get to the Mizbeach, you have to place the blood on the Mizbeach. There are two different methods of, besides the amount of times you have to place it, there are two different methods of placing the blood on the Mizbeach. You can either sprinkle it, you can take any fingers and you sprinkle it. That is Zerika. You stand at a distance from the wall of the Mizbeach and you toss it. And then you also have, according to Rabbi Shmuel at least, in Gemara and Zvachim, he says that by the Korban Pesach it's different. So you don't put the blood on your fingers and then sprinkle it from a distance. You actually walk up to the Yisod of the Mizbeach and you pour it. Right? You have Shvicha. You pour it onto the Mizbeach. So therefore, so now the question is going to be here, if something requires sprinkling, can you pour? If something requires pouring, can you sprinkling? Which is more inclusive than the other? Rabbi Shmuel clearly held that the Pesach is more inclusive than the Zevach. Therefore, if you made a Birchas HaPesach, you patted the Birchas HaZevach. So now the Gemara's talk says, Kishetim Tzalomar, when you look into it, L'divrei Rabbi Shmuel, according to the words of Rabbi Shmuel, Zrika b'chlal Shvicha. Zrika, which is said by other karbanos, is included in Shvicha. Meaning, if I did Shvicha as opposed to Zrika, I'd be Yotze. Meaning, what's done by the Korban Pesach includes the other karbanos. So just like the bracha of the Korban Pesach would pater the bracha on the other karbanos, so too, the method of placing the blood on the Mizbeach of the Korban Pesach would pater the method of placing the blood of other karbanos. Right? Zrika b'chlal shvicha. V'lo shvicha b'chlal zrika. But pouring is not included in zrika. Meaning, if I have to pour something and I sprinkle it, That's not good. Same reason for our Mishnah. Just like I have to, if I make the bracha on the other carbon, it's not going to apply to the bracha on the carbon Pesach. Now, what's the connection between the two is difficult, I think, to understand. We're talking about pouring. How does that work? Right, so Rashbam says, and then let's just finish Rabbi Kiva. And Rabbi Kiva says, no, Rabbi Kiva is the same thing as in our Mishnah. Lo shvicha b'chal zrika, v'lo zrika b'chal shvicha. They're independent methods. One does not part to the other. For the Korban Pesach, you have to do shvicha. And for other Korbanos, you have to do zrika. The two do not come together. So what's the... So Rashbam says, Gemara, okay? B'masecha zvachim, b'perek b'shamay, Shamir le Rabbi Shmuel, we learned that Rabbi Shmuel holds, the Amar, the Pesach b'shvika below Zrika. The Korban Pesach is poured, the blood of the Korban Pesach is poured on the Mizbeach, it's not sprinkled on the Mizbeach. The Tanya Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Rabbi Shmuel learns, Ritok Sha'at Nemar, Ach b'chor shor, Lamadu le b'chor shatom matan damin, v'emru le gabi Mizbeach, Maiser o Pesach menayin, tam alom or damis of Hech Shavachich, it's the Limudim, di l'shar korban, okay. V'hashta the Ka'amar Rabbi Shmuel the Pesach b'shvicha. So now Rabbi Shmuel holds that Pesach is by shvicha by pouring. B'shamin and lay min masnisin, and we learn from our Mishnah the Amar Birchas haPesach who niftar mi Birchas haZevach, but the Birchas haPesach who niftar who mi Birchas haZevach the Amar be Birchas haPesach who niftar mi Birchas haZevach the Eino niftar mi shal Pesach Birchas haZevach. Which says Emorato on the it is exactly what we explained. He just said that the Pesach is more inclusive, so therefore if you do the Korban Pesach method, it patches the regular Korban Pesach. And that's where Rabbi Kiva says, no, that's not the case. The question is, what does it mean it patches? The bracha patches it. Right? We say that a bracha patches it. Is it included in it? Is it a case of Ikar and Tafel? Right? What is it? Like, with bracha, sometimes you say, like, if you make a Bori Mizonos on like an ice cream sandwich, right, because you have the cookie and you have the ice cream, it's that Ikar and Tafel, because the Mizonos is the Ikar and the ice cream is the Tafel. Maybe it's not, depending on how thick it is or what it is. You know, cheesecake sometimes is just a binder. Okay, I'm just assuming that that's the Ikar Tafel. So is that the case over here? If you had the Korban Pesach and you had the Korban Chagiga, then you make the bracha on the Korban Pesach, it's because the Korban Pesach is Ikar and the Chagiga is Tafel?
The Ikar Tafel has to be at the same time.
But again, I'm saying here, we're doing it at the same time. You haven't both at the plate at the same time. Yeah, in my Heichi Timsa, you're doing it all at the same time. Or, I don't know, maybe it's not Ikar or Tafel, I'm not sure. The Tosos, towards the bottom of the Tosos, he quotes the Ikar or Tafel. He says, the Pesach Ikar v'Zevach Tafel. Im kei Pesach poter as ha-Zevach, v'o birchas ha-Zevach as ha-Pesach. But then if the whole idea is Ikar or Tafel, then how do you draw that across to the case of the sprinkling? That's not Ikar or Tafel anymore. Because it's not, so those are two separate korbanos that require ritzoi. So how does Ikar v'Tafel, I mean, they're trying to line up the machlokos.
So time frame on each one.
Where?
Both of them.
I'm saying which case, in the bracha case or in
the sprinkling
case? Right, so I'm just not sure how that answer would pull it across. I don't know. Okay, so let's finish up. But for those of you who want to, we'll save the actual seum for Thursday. So now that we mentioned two different brachos, the Gemara brings another case of two different places with two different brachos. The Gemara says, Rav Simlai ikla l'pidjon haben. Rav Simlai came to a pidjon haben. Bo minei, they asked him. Pshita, we understand, we know for sure that the bracha of the mitzvah, on the mitzvah pidjon haben, of al mitzvah, al pidjon haben, that bracha of asher k'dishanam mitzvah tzivonu, al pidjon haben, avi haben mevarech, the father of the child, of the boy, makes the bracha, because he's the one who's mitzvah to redeem his son. So he's making the bracha. But what about with the bracha, Baruch Shechiyah V'kimanu Yemaz Manazeh, who makes the bracha? Does the Kohen make the bracha? Or does the Avi Ben make the bracha? Kohen, do you say the Kohen makes the bracha? He's the one who's getting the hana. He's getting the money. Right, he's getting the money. He should make the bracha. Right, in the times of they say about the Gra that he was to go and give every kohen 5 shlomim in order to hold himself, just in case the original other kohen wasn't really a kohen. Right, so is that true? I've heard that.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Took
out a Rappaport. Okay. They are miyuchas. Okay. Kohen mevarech kamate hanol didei. Oh, avi ben mevarech to avi mitzvah. It is the father of the son. Make the bracha because he's the one who's actually doing the mitzvah. So lo havi biyadei. Rav Simlai didn't know. He didn't know the answer. So asa shal be midrasha. So what do you do? You call the halacha hotline. He went into the base medrash and he asked, "What's the story with this?" So they went back and forth, and Amrulay, they said to him, they decided, Avi Habein Mivarek Shtayim, the father, right, the father of the kid, makes both brachos, because he's the one who has the mitzvah. The Hilchos on Halacha is Avi Habein Mivarek Shtayim, but the father makes Shtayim. The little time, figured that there's this, there's a beautiful Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, that talks about Pidyon Haben. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in Shmos, the Pasuk says, V'chol b'chor b'ni yefteh, right, to redeem every firstborn. So Rav Yaakov quotes a Sforno. He says, why do you have to do the redemption? Why do you have to do Pidyon Haben? He says, K'dei she'yu mutarim ba'avodos chol. We redeem the firstborns, so they'll be mutter to do mundane activities. So Rav Yaakov asks, wait a second, why is that? So why are you making the bracha? You're lowering his status from something that's kadosh into something that's chol. He says, mevum mitvarav, de'il lo hayinu, from the words of the Sforno, me'il lo hayu podim oso, hayin nishar kol yom b'kedusha. If we don't redeem him, he'll stay holy his whole life. Why do they make a big suda? Why is this a good thing? We're removing Kedusha from him. He's going down a level. And now he's mundane. What's the simcha? He says, there's a major fundamental distinction between the way we view, the way the Jewish world, the Lach of views Kedusha, and the non-Jewish world views Kedusha. Non-Jews, they believe that the Guf and the Neshama are two separate entities, and they don't mix together. They don't mix together, and kedusha is only shayach to the neshama, and chol is only shayach to the guf, right? It's two separate things. The two don't meet. You go to church, you go to the place. That's where kedusha. At home, there's not necessarily any kedusha. It says lachena din husha akum ein mavim shum korban as chutz mikorban ola. That's where the guy doesn't bring anything other than a korban ola, right? That's because the ola is kul Hashem. Like the goyim don't bring shlamim because that split some of it comes to the person. Like et shlam ef shom la ari kedushim achlei guf. About Yisrael sovrim, we believe shaguf and shomus avru. They're mixed together. V'nis magzu liyos guf shlushi. The mazul like we mix the like. Then it's magzu like a third. There's a third concept. V'heim ukusharim ugadim zebezeh. They're tied together. The chol pu'ula hu mishutefesh mishneim. And every action we do is a combination of guf and neshama. Now we understand completely what the purpose of the Pidyon Haben is. Before the Pidyon Haben, the kid is completely ruchnius. He's completely kedusha. His problem is, but that's not the purpose that we're brought, that we're created. That's not our purpose on earth. We're supposed to live a life mixed of gashmius and ruchnius. In a way, we use the gashmius to raise our level of our. We use our gashmius in order to raise our level of kedusha. You eat, you make a bracha, for example. Certain things. It's a mixture together. That's what we do with Pidyon Haben. We move him as an area of full holiness, and we bring him into the world, and now he can reach his potential by combining the two. That's the bracha that we're making, because we're taking this kid for a bechor who, when he's born, is only in the world of holy. We're bringing him down into the world of the mundane, because now he can complete his potential of combining the two. So he comes to his purpose, right? And it's a very difficult idea. So there's other make these brachas. We say kashim shikin niklas lebris. We say all these brachas for him. But the idea of the Pidyon Haben is to create the real purpose of the child, which is to combine holy. Like the idea is to mekadish the chomer, is to take the mundane and lift it. By doing the things like the idea of cleaning the house for Pesach, it should be with simcha. It should all be done in a way that raises what seems to be mundane, and raise it to a level of kedusha. Okay, stop here. I'll pick up tomorrow. Shalom.